Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 5, Canto 2. Chapter's entitled The Cause of All Causes, verse number 20. Sa esha bhagavalingais Tribe etara hok sahajaha Salaksita gatir brahman Sare sammama chesvaraha. Translation, purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. O Brahmana Narada, the superseer, the transcendent Lord, is beyond the perception of the material senses of the living entities, because of the above-mentioned three modes of nature. But He is the controller of everyone, including me. Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita, 7, 24, and 25, the Lord has declared very clearly that the impersonalists who give more importance to the transcendental rays of the Lord as the Brahma Jyoti and can conclude that the Absolute Truth is ultimately impersonal and only manifests the Ford at the time of necessity is less intelligent than the impersonalists, however much the impersonalists may be engaged in study of the Vedanta. The fact is that such impersonalists are covered by the above-mentioned three modes of material nature. Therefore, they are unable to approach the transcendental personality of Godhead. The Lord is not approachable by everyone because He is curtained by the yoga maya potency. But one should not wrongly conclude that the Lord was formerly unmanifested and now has become manifested Himself in human form. This misconception of the formlessness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is due to the Yogamaya curtain of the Lord and can be removed only by the Supreme Will, as soon as the conditioned soul surrenders unto Him. The devotees of the Lord, who are transcendental to the above-mentioned three modes of material nature, can see the all-blissful transcendental form of the Lord with their vision of love, in the attitude of pure devotional service. End of purport. Please repeat translation once again. O Brahmana Narada, the superseer, the transcendent Lord, is beyond the perception of the material senses of the living entities, because of the above-mentioned three modes of nature. But He is the controller of everyone, including me. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Nena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Staptitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadanti Swam Padantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pramuktananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasari Gaura Bhaktivinam Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, people want to see the Lord, and it's possible, but one has to qualify themselves. The qualification is that one has to be approach the Lord as the Lord gives that direction. One has to approach the Lord in devotion. And here, many people approach the Lord from different angles. People approach the Lord for material desires, to fulfill some material need in this world. And people approach the Lord in order to gain better position in political, social, or economic situations. Or people approach the Lord just from some general welfare. People approach the Lord simply to study about the Lord and try to understand the Lord by philosophy, through speculation, through philosophical understanding. And people conclude through their approach that the Lord is like this, the Lord is like this, the Lord is like this. But Krishna says, what is that? Avajanti mam mudha manasam tanamaspasam param brahma jnanantam mama bhuta maheshwara. Krishna says that I'm covered. You can't understand me simply by your mental speculation, nor through your penances and austerities or your prayers or anything. One can only understand me when I reveal myself to you. So one can know the Lord when the Krishna reveals himself. There's a verse in the Svetasvatara Upanishads that, what is that? Pravanchanena labhya namedasa bahutena srutena. That not by extensive amounts of hearing, not by studying scripture for a long time, and not by any form of process, but when the Lord is pleased, He reveals Himself. And that is the way to understand the Lord. We have to please the Lord, and the Lord reveals Himself. Just like if someone is pleased with you, then immediately you get their favor. If they're not pleased with you, or they don't even, if you're not concerned with them so much, but you're concerned what you can get from them, then that person's not so much inclined. So Krishna is the same way. He's interested in giving us himself, but he has to be approached in the right way. So here it's mentioned that there are a class of spiritualists who are known as impersonalists. There are two classes of spiritualists. One is called the impersonal, and one is called the personalist. And both are transcendentalists. That's mentioned. Aham, what is that verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 5th chapter, 2nd verse. What is that verse? Mahatseva dwarma hormi mukta, tamo dwarm yositam sangi sangam, mahatmanas chit pramachitan prashanta, asur suvari, vimariye suhidam saravavye. That there are two classes of impersonalists, but only the personalists actually realize what is the nature of the Lord. Because if you think the Lord is impersonal, and He assumes a particular form, just at a certain time whenever He needs to perform some activity, and therefore ultimately His highest principle is formlessness, this is a misconception. Krishna, God, is formless. But that's one aspect of the Absolute Truth. And it's on the lower level of the Absolute Truth. Vedanti tat tadvad vidvya tadvad jnanam avyayam vameti paramatmaiti bhagavaniti subjute. Krishna says that Brahman, Paramatman, and Bhagavan are three aspects of the Absolute Truth. And all three are important. But ultimately, Krishna is Bhagavan. He's a person. So, and one cannot understand the personal nature of the Lord simply through philosophical study. Here, Srila Prabhupada mentions that there are a class of persons who study the scriptures, but still they have less knowledge than those who worship the Lord as the personal form. Why? Because their conclusion of the scriptures is wrong. We might say not wrong, but incomplete. It's incomplete. So Krishna is actually, how we say, the personality of Godhead. And Krishna says throughout Bhagavad Gita, Aham Sarvasya Pavava. Nayam, what is that verse? Nayam Parat. Huh? No, not the 7-7. Matat Parataram nanyat kinchid asti ajanandaya. That all things are situated on me as pearls are resting on the thread. Aham ahidevanam. What else? So many verses in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna establishes himself as a person. And yet still, people think impersonal. Why is that? Why, if Krishna is so much declaring throughout so many scriptures that he's a person, and still people conclude that he's impersonal, why is that? What is the underlying root of this, what we say, continuous philosophical misunderstanding? What is the root of that? What causes one to conclude like that? Fear. Fear of what? Well, in terms of relationship with the Lord. Oh, you're talking about the living entity. Yeah, the living entity also concludes mistakenly that I'm a person now, but when I become liberated, then I become a non-person. Because being a person is miserable, so therefore to be a non-person means to be happy. But that's another misconception, because we equate material person with liberated person. There's no difference between one who's filled with material desires and one who's liberated. No, it's a complete difference. No. But in the case of the Lord, the reason why people conclude that he's impersonal is that they don't want to render service to the Lord. Because if there's a person, then you have to follow. But if there's just some white light or some, how we say, unmanifested aspect of, you know, existence that one cannot perceive. And then this whole principle of service, you know, doesn't enter into their minds. Because one has to engage in service in order. Krishna reveals himself by service only. There's no other way that one can understand Krishna, only by devotional service. What does he say in the Bhagavad Gita? In the 11th chapter, 55th verse, only by undivided devotional service can I be known as I am, standing before you, and thus be seen directly. Only in this way can you enter into the mysteries of my understanding. Krishna is speaking to him. He's speaking directly to Arjuna, and he's standing there in his personal form. And he's saying, only by devotional service can you understand me in this form. Only by devotional service. So devotional service reveals the nature of the Lord. And there's a curtain over the Lord called Yogamaya. A Yogamaya curtain protects the Lord from all kinds of misconceptions. And people wrongly conclude, based on this, what we say, covering. So therefore, Prabhupada ends the purport that the devotees, they understand the nature of it. Why? Because they are engaged in devotional service and they worship the Lord with devotion. Why should we worship anybody with devotion? Right? Nowadays, people don't even want to worship their friends or their family members. Right? They have an obligation to friends and family members, but there's not really a lot of devotion nowadays. It's more like obligatory, or even a little bit better than that. It's more or less, I get something from that relationship. But out of devotion, or out of love, out of appreciation or gratitude, we find that that's being lost due to the influence of the age. But in the nature of the Lord, it's there. It's the foundation of that relationship. It's the foundation of it. Because Krishna can only be known by devotion. we were discussing yesterday, that one verse, Bahunam Gyanam Amanti Gyanam Amam Prapadyante Vasudevam Sarvamiti Samahunam Sadurlabaha. That through philosophical speculation on the scriptures and approaching the Lord through knowledge, one ultimately comes to the conclusion of all knowledge, which means I must serve the Lord. The conclusion of all philosophical knowledge is surrender. That's it. If one simply studies scriptures but never really surrenders or engages in practical devotional service to the Lord, then one's knowledge remains somewhat meager. There's something there because one can get some understanding through philosophy. But one cannot realize the Lord, nor one can one realize their relationship with the Lord simply by philosophical speculation. One has to render service to the Lord. Service is the highest thing. Why? Because the constitutional nature of all living beings is to serve the Lord in devotional service. And Krishna reveals himself as a person. Gradually, he reveals himself as the supreme personality of Godhead. There's that beautiful description in the scriptures or discussion between Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the personality of Godhead, but Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, when he saw the Lord, he couldn't recognize the Lord as the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he had an impersonal conception of God. He was appreciating this personality as being a great personality. He was a sannyasi. He had gone into ecstasy in the Jagannath temple. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was impressed by that, took him home and tried to care for him, but at the same time he couldn't realize him. And then the nephew of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Gopinathacharya, said, my dear uncle, you're a fool. You don't know, you know, this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and you're thinking he's just an ordinary sannyasi. And so, and then, Lord Chaitanya remained very humble, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was going to speak Vedanta Sutra according to his understanding of Vedanta Sutra to the Lord. And the Lord said, let me hear your explanation. So he explained for 7 full days the whole philosophy of the Vedanta Sutra. And what happened after 7 days? The Lord didn't say one thing. He just listened. Because usually when you're listening to somebody speak, you may ask him some questions at a certain point. But the Lord never said anything. He just listened. And after the 7 days, Sarvabhauma said, you're just sitting there, you're just listening, and you're not asking questions, you're not saying anything. What is your conclusion by what I said? Lord Chaitanya said, the sun is beautiful, and it's brightly sitting in the sky, and the sun is self-effulgent. But if a cloud comes over it, one cannot see the sun. So the Vedanta Sutra, which is the embodiment of all the highest truth of the absolute nature, is easily self-effulgent. But your interpretations are like big clouds. Your interpretations are like clouds. So he could not understand. And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, well, okay, then let me hear what you have to say. You think you know more than I do? I am the famous Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He was thinking he was so great because he had a good position and he was respected. In fact, he was the pundit of the area. But at the same time, when Lord Chaitanya spoke, somehow or other, he was astounded. He couldn't speak. And then they had a discussion between personalism and impersonal. And Lord Chaitanya explained that ultimately, everything in creation is personal. You're a person, I'm a person, everything has form. So where do you see something that is formless that is sentient? Formlessness means simply that there is what we say, a vacuum, or nothing, or some air, or whatever. But a person cannot be formless. Just like we use the example, what is the energy of a person? A person may have his energy, and his energy helps him to do things, but that is his impersonal feature of him. But that is not him. He is a person. His energy carries out whatever he needs to do. So the impersonal aspect of the Lord is his energies, but he is the source. So this is very... Now Brahma is speaking to Narada. Narada is thinking that Brahma is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's under this apparent misconception. Why he's under this misconception, we don't know. It's quite mysterious why Brahma is under this misconception. But Brahma is speaking. Narada's under this misconception. Brahma is speaking, and he's basically saying that I'm not... Narada's been glorifying Brahma in so many different ways, but I'm not the greatest. I'm not the greatest at all. I'm simply, controlled by the same person you're controlled by, the person who's everyone's controlled by, and that is Krishna, the Super Soul, the Transcendent Lord. So how can one understand transcendence with one's material... So what is that verse that teaches us how to understand God? Ata si Krishna namadi nabhavedrayam indriyam seva mukhihi jivado swayam eva sparatada. What is that verse? That the senses cannot reach to the transcendental nature of the Absolute. One cannot understand God by sense perception. But when the senses become purified, Rishikena Rishikesha Sevana Bhakta Utsa, when the senses become purified through the process of bhakti, then one can understand the Lord. Now, what is that verse, that word in that verse that's so important? Namadi. Namadi. By the name. Nama. And by chanting the holy names of the Lord, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, one purifies their heart, mind, senses, life completely. And then the nature of the Lord is gradually revealed to the personality. So it begins with the name, Namadi, the name. The name is the means for uncovering the nature, the transcendental nature of the Lord. So we have to chant the name. It's important. Not only is it important, it's foundational, it's essential, it is everything. If we're doing so much devotional service, but we're not chanting, or not serious about our chanting, we're really not understanding too much. We're connected, but we're not getting much realization. We want realization of the process. Therefore, we have to very, very carefully and very, very regularly chant the holy names of the Lord. And through this process of chanting, and then Krishna reveals himself in his name as a person. Just like there is, what is it? Nama, Rupa, Guna, Lila. So what is that? That by chanting the name, Krishna is understood as his name. By chanting the name, one can understand Krishna in his form. By chanting the name, one can understand Krishna with his qualities. And by chanting the name, one can enter into Krishna's lilas, into pastimes. So these are the four stages of chanting that the Lord reveals himself through the process of japa, or of kirtan. So this is the mind, the senses, and one's existence is covered by the three modes of material energy. We are trapped, and therefore we cannot get out of that trapment only by you know, engaging in devotional service, beginning with the name. The name is everything. So therefore, chant, 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 can't, can't, can't. Too tired, too lazy, too many things to do, too many places to go, too many people to meet, too much money to make. Chant. We have to chant. Chant, chant. Prabhupada said, when he used to give initiation, he said, one vows to chant at least 16 rounds. Not that you chant 16 rounds, at least. Satatam kirtayantuman. Always glorifying the Lord. Chant, chant, chant. And that is the process. Remembering Krishna in the form of his holy name. Prabhupada says, 16 rounds on beads, innumerable rounds off the beads. And, of course, not innumerable rounds off the beads and no rounds on the beads. That's not the idea. Chant, chant, chant. Why? Chant so early in the morning. Are you guys crazy? You get up so early. What are you guys doing up so early? It's like insane. 3 o'clock, 3:30 in the morning getting up. And what do? Just sit there fingering some pieces of wood. But actually, this is the highest spiritual process, to absorb oneself in the Lord's name. The Lord's name is the Lord. Great souls, what do? They just chant. What was it? Someone was telling us the other day that someone asked Prabhupada about, are you always remembering Krishna? And Prabhupada said, yes. And the man said, then you should be chanting all the time. Prabhupada said, I am. And he said, come over here and put your ear on my back. So the man put his ear on Prabhupada's back, and he could hear the Maha Mantra inside. Prabhupada's chanting was going on inside like this. And great souls, they actually, what we say, through the process of purification and chanting, the holy name takes root in the heart, and then it goes on automatically. When Haridas Thakur was asked by the Muslims, stop chanting. You're a Muslim. This is a Hindu thing. Why are you chanting? He said, stop chanting or else we're going to punish you. Not only that, we're going to kill you. He said, you can take my body and cut it into hundreds of pieces, and each piece will be chanting Hare Krishna. He wasn't worried about death, because he was completely aloof from all that stuff. And he was just absorbed in the holy name. The Krishna has come in the form of the holy name. And this is the means of the awakening of how we can understand Krishna as a person. If we look at the deity and we think the deity is stone and wood, that means our japa is not so good. We see the deity as Krishna, as the beautiful transcendental form of the Supreme Lord, then we know we're chanting Hare Krishna right. Because the name helps us understand Krishna in the form of his deity. There's no other way. Everything comes through the name. We say, just like a person who is intelligent, he thinks if I do one thing that's important, then if that one thing can accomplish so many things, then what is that one? How important is that one thing? How important is that one thing? Then that one thing solves so many problems and it gets so many things done. So here's the key. Chant. Just chant the holy name and chant with attention, chant with devotion, chant with determination, chant with enthusiasm. Chant. Just chant. 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 Can't. 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 No time. Too many things to do. Chant. We have to chant the holy names of the Lord. And 16 rounds is nothing, really. It's just the beginning. We think, wow, I did 16 rounds. Wow, look at me, wow. I made it. But actually, 16 rounds is nothing, really. This is the beginning. Prabhupada wanted 64 rounds, right? We couldn't do it. Still can't. Can't even do 16. How many people got their rounds done? How many? One, two. How many people got at least 12 rounds done? One, two more. Three. How many people got between 8 and 12 rounds done? And how many people got less than 8 rounds done? Howdy, Ball. How many people haven't even begun chanting yet? Well, I guess this is the right subject for today's class. Of course, now if you do kirtan all day, then that's good too. But the point is, the holy name is everything. And Krishna reveals himself. And not only is the holy name everything, Lord Chaitanya has made it everything. Even if it's not everything, he made it everything. So therefore, the Lord has given the process, the holy name. So this is the happiness we derive in Krishna consciousness. Just chant. Sometimes we do these, we say japa marathons. I remember on New Year's Eve, or New Year's Day, like when everybody else is doing other things. We always get together and have japathons. And I remember one japathon, a whole bunch of people did it. And some of them were guests, and some of them were just devotees. And one man, he chanted 74 rounds or something like that. He was like a guest. He said, wow. But I got up to around 60 rounds, and it was really becoming nectar. Took him 60 rounds to really get the taste. But Krishna's holy name is like that. You know, when you start off, sometimes there's no taste. And then you get tired because there's no taste. But that's because we're not accustomed. We just keep chanting and chanting and chanting and chanting and chanting. Like that. And Prabhupada said, the mind is restless, especially in two times of the day. When is the mind most restless? In the morning, and then in the evening. In the morning, it's restless because it's tired, still a little tired yet, or it just wants to do something different. It just wants to do something different. But in the evening, because it's been doing things all day, it's hard to really focus also. But these two times are the times that we should be chanting the holy names. And Krishna reveals himself. Even if your chanting is not perfect or attentive, if you make a sincere endeavor to chant, then Krishna will reveal himself through his name. It's so wonderful, the chanting of the holy name. Sometimes we're thinking about so many problems, and we're thinking about so many things in our life, and we're thinking about so many things we have to do, and all of a sudden we start chanting, and we become absorbed in the holy name, and we forget. We don't even worry about those things, because there's such, the happiness and satisfaction derived in chanting is so wonderful that one just thinks, okay, I'm just happy chanting. Just keep chanting. So this is Krishna's name. Krishna's name is so wonderful, because it is Krishna himself. Binnatvam naminam. What is that verse? Namas Chintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Nitya Siddha Puras Purna Siddhya Nitya Mukta Binnatvam Nami Namino. Beautiful verse from the Padma Purana. One of my favorite verses. Transcendental name of the Lord. It's all blissful, all transcendental. It is Krishna in the form of his name. It's not material by any definition. It is not affected by anything material. And the name of Krishna, and Krishna is none different. He who is named, the name is so wonderful. This is the mercy. And where was Prabhupada's success in spreading Krishna consciousness? It was in spreading the holy name. What did he do? How did he make devotees? He simply got out on the streets in Thompson Square Park in New York City, sat down with a little tom-tom drum. It wasn't even a mridanga. A little tiny tom-tom. The drum is still in New Vrindavan. You can see it. It's on the altar there in Prabhupada's palace. Same drum. The drum that started the Hare Krishna movement. It's a little drum about this. It's probably boom. Dun 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 dun. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Dun 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 dun. You hear the tape? It's really nice. Simple. Well, that's all he did. Sit down, and people came, and they started dancing, and Prabhupada, you know. And somebody wrote an article, Chant Hare Krishna, be high forever, never come down. You want to, people were taking drugs, thinking, I'll get high, I'll have a psychedelic experience. Prabhupada said, that's nice, but take this drug. The holy name, and it'll take you to, you know, a higher level. It was like, what was it? It was that one Babaji in India, Neem Karoli Baba. Very powerful devotee, Neem Karoli Baba. So his disciple was the famous Baba Ram Das, Richard Alpert, who more or less synthesized this whole thing with LSD and spirituality. He started the whole thing that by taking LSD you can have a spiritual experience. So that started the whole hippie generation and back in the 60s. And so one day he came to his guru, Neem Karoli Baba, and he was talking to him. And they were talking about this LSD. So there's Neem Karoli Baba. I said, let me see, what is this LSD? What is this stuff? So he gave some to his spiritual master, and he took it. In fact, he took 10 hits of it. 10 hits of acid, enough to kill people. And after some time, he said, am I supposed to experience something? What is this? In other words, he was already up there. The drug really didn't do anything for him because he was really beyond the drug already. He was already in transcendental consciousness. So it's like that, you know. You chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and one can, you know, experience great happiness. And Krishna has come so nicely in his holy name. And then Krishna reveals himself who he is. Then one can know God, one can know themselves, and one can know their relationship with God. Three things. Who is God? Who am I? And what is my relationship with God? Because these three things are essential. If you know, if you don't know who you are, and you don't know who God is, you don't know what your relationship is. Your relationship is based on understanding your position and the position of God. This is called abhideya, the process. Sambandha means to connect. Abhideya means to serve. And prayojana means to love. These are three things. Connect, serve, and love. So before we can connect, and before we can serve, we have to actually connect. And connect. There's a way to connect. Okay. Any questions? Comments? Anyone? Mataji? To improve our chanting, we only have to surrender our mind. The mind is a conglomeration of all our thoughts and desires. And the mind has priorities. So we have to make the instructions of the spiritual master a priority. So chant every day 16 rounds of japa in the temple with devotees. you know, in the temple with devotees. You can chant in different places, but then you, if you chant by yourself, you generally associate with your mind. When you chant with devotees, it's like today when I was chanting in the temple. I chanted 14 rounds in the temple with the devotees. And I was noticing, I was hearing another devotee's chanting. But it was good, because every time I heard his chanting, it would help me come back to my chanting if my mind was wandering. So like that, we give each other support by associating together and chanting like that. It's nice. So chanting together is important. It's important. Like that. If we chant in our rooms or we chant outside by ourselves, it's much harder. Of course, if you have no other alternative, then that's all right. But if you have a choice, you should chant with the devotees in the temple. In the Boston Temple in the 1960s, the rule was, after when Japa started, the doors were closed. No one would go out. Couldn't leave. Couldn't leave the temple until Japa was over. Everybody stayed and chanted. It was nice. Nowadays we have this philosophy, just do whatever you want. It's okay. Do whatever you want means do whatever your mind wants. It's basically what it is. Do whatever your mind wants. And the mind will come up with so many things. Therefore, we only have one hope, the instructions of the spiritual master. As long as we follow the instructions of the spiritual master, we're safe. We're connected. The spiritual master is the transparent media, via media between the Lord and the devotee. And therefore, he's given the formula. He's given the process. Therefore, if we're not following the instructions of the spiritual master, we're not getting the mercy of the spiritual master. And if we're not getting the mercy of the spiritual master, we're not getting the mercy of the Lord. So what is the firm? Prabhupada says, my most important instruction is that for all my followers, devotees, to chant every day 16 rounds on beads without fail. Prabhupada said, that's my most important instruction. He gave so many instructions, but he said this one is the most essential, because it's the basis of all other progress in Krishna consciousness like that. Someone asked Prabhupada, you know, what do you get from chanting? Prabhupada said, we get to associate with Krishna. We get to associate with Krishna. Wouldn't you like to associate with God? It's really good association. It's far out. It's really far out. In the real definition of the term far out. It's as far out as you can get. So here, this is the process. And one has to chant the holy names of the Lord every day with determination, with attention, with regularity, like that, and as much devotion. And then everything else is nice. Reading is nice. Devotees are nice. Everyone is nice. Everything is nice when we have nice japa. When everything is not in a... And we just go along, somehow or other, struggling. Trying to make things nice. The Holy Name takes care of everything. Prabhupada said, the Holy Name will do everything for you. Once you chant the Holy Name, it carries out everything else. Yeah. Yes. Read Krishna book and chant at the same time? Let me see. Have you? You can do that? You chant the holy names and you're reading Krishna book. And you can get both. Krishna book is Bhagavatam, it's non-different. And chanting the holy name is Krishna in the form of sound. I haven't reached that stage yet. Maybe Maybe another lifetime. Well, Prabhupada said, Krishna book, Nectar Devotion, Bhagavad Gita, Sri Upanishads, as of the four foundational books that he gave, teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and Nectar Devotion, Bhagavad Gita. So, it's important that we read and we chant also. Your reading will enhance your chanting will enhance your reading. Everything that you do is meant to support your chanting, and your chanting is where the nectar is. Chanting is where the nectar is. That's where the juice is, right? Sunil Madhava, you know, when he manages the temple, sometimes he doesn't smile so much. But when he chants in kirtans, he really goes, you know. He's smiling, dancing, and everybody else is smiling and dancing. So it's like, this is Kevalananda Kanda. This is the nectar for which we were looking for. Krishna's holy name. Okay. Any other? Yes. That means you're not chanting. If you're chanting and you're not doing any service, you're really not chanting. You're just mouthing it. Then the words are like five letters, KRSNA. If you're really... Because what is the definition of chanting? My dear Lord, please engage me in your devotional service. That's Bhakti Vinod Thakur's explanation of the Maha Mantra. Bhakti Vinod Thakur's explanation is, my dear Lord, please engage me in your service. So if you're chanting and you're not service, you're serving, you're doing something that looks like chanting. It's not chanting. Real chanting inspires one to take up service. And real chanting enthuses one to do more service. Yeah. I mean, Krishna says, come back to Godhead. And you say, no, not yet. Too busy chanting your name to go back to Godhead. It's like the Hanuman Bhakta. He approached one guru. He said, I want to see Hanuman. I want to see Hanuman. The guru said, all right, here I'll give you a formula. You chant this mantra to Hanuman and you fast for 18 days. So he did. He was chanting the mantra to Hanuman and he was fasting. And on the 12th day, Hanuman appeared to him. And then he said, Hanuman, what are you doing here? It's only the 12th day. Come back in 6 days. You know, people are attached to the ritual and not the purpose of the ritual. Purpose is to please the Lord.